item.
Thank you.
854.
Thank you.
854, declare as surplus city-owned property located at 2400 Northwest Front Avenue and authorize the director of the Bureau of Environmental Services to proceed with a public sale of the property.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is a important day at the Bureau of Environmental Services because we're coming before you with the first sort of test case under our revised surplus property guidelines. And I've had the opportunity to talk to all my colleagues about this issue, and we've received a tremendous amount of public feedback on how to strengthen our policies with the goal of providing greater notice to impacted people and organizations, and also to make sure that we get a fair market price in terms of value for whatever we surplus. The property that will be at issue today is property that was acquired in conjunction with the highly successful Big Pike project, which, as you know, was a cornerstone in our whole strategy to clean our rivers and to take sewage out of our rivers, and that was brought in by Commissioner Saltzman on time and under budget. I'm pleased to introduce Dean Marriott, who is our director, and Scott Turpin. And before Scott says anything, I just want to acknowledge that Scott has been providing public service for over 31 years. And in that time, I'm told this is the first time he has made a council presentation. So
wow.
I wanted to make sure my colleagues knew that so we could thank him for all this great work. And I'll turn it over to the director.
Thank you very much, Commissioner and President Saltzman. Nice to see you again, members of the council. I am Dean Marriott, Environmental Services Director. With me, as the Commissioner mentioned, is Scott Turpin, our Bureau Administrative Services Manager. And Scott will actually carry most of the discussion. I'm here because I was at the table when we made the decision to acquire T1 from the Port of Portland rather than lease it for such a long period of time that during which we would need it for the CSO construction, that it made more sense financially for the ratepayers to acquire the property, use it for the purposes of helping to clean up the Willamette River, and then put it back on the market and make it available for some private investment purposes. And that's where we are today. Some of you may remember, as you would drive over the Fremont Bridge or the Broadway Bridge, you could see all the tunnel segments being constructed at T1 North, all those white concrete arcs that went into the ground to make up the West Side Tunnel and the East Side Tunnel for years. That's where we built those tunnel segments. It's also where we built the West Side Tunnel. And as the Commissioner mentioned, as of December of 2011, the CSO program has ceased major construction activities and has been functioning actually better than we had even predicted at the time. So that chapter is a successful conclusion, is drawing to a successful conclusion, which sets up this next event, which is to ask you to help us declare those two parcels to be surplus. And with that, I'll turn it over to Scott Turpin. Scott?
Thank you, Dean. Thank you, Commissioner Fish, President Saltzman, and the rest of the council.
Talk right into that.
I'm not talking very loud, excuse me. Before we talk about the two individual properties that we brought ordinances to you today for, I'd like to talk a bit about the process that the Bureau has gone through and internally and externally that's been outlined by Commissioner Fish's office. The first thing that happens when the Bureau decides that it or makes the decision that it wants to surplus property is it reviews its own operations to determine whether that property could be used within the Bureau's operation. If that's not the case, the Bureau does some due diligence in terms of background information on the property, and we approach OMF facilities to do a polling of the other bureaus. And that usually takes 10 to 20 days for responses from the other bureaus. We then, in our new process that Commissioner Fish has outlined, do some outreach to the community. We contact Metro, Multnomah County, Washington County, and Clackamas County, and the state of Oregon to see if there may be another public interest that may surface for that property. failing anything coming back from those individuals, we also notify the Neighborhood Coalition and Association. We place information about the property on our website and that it's our intent to ask the council to surplus the property. And we publish notification in the Oregonian and the DJC, the Daily Journal of Commerce. And this takes approximately 45 days of
just
effort.
If I could, Scott, the one thing that was on the slide that you didn't highlight was we post a sign on the property. That was a specific request that came out of our experience with the Freeman Tank controversy in Southwest, that by posting a sign is yet another way of placing affected surrounding neighborhoods on notice of the city's intent.
Correct. And there is the sign in front of you. And so we do that other outreach concurrently while this notice has been posted on the property. After the 45 days is over is the point where we're at with you now, where we craft an ordinance to come to you to ask your permission to surplus the property and put it on the open competitive market. At that point, we decide how we're going to approach the marketplace, and we then would publish that potential sale again on the website, and we would work with a broker, if that's the route we chose to take, to put it on the market and post the property for sale. We would not, however, accept any offers on the property for a 30-day period, again, allowing the community to absorb that information. So that's the process that we've walked through to this point, and if you have any question about that, I'd be happy to answer.
There's just one question, and that's what happens after the sale. Where does the money go from the sale of the property?
The money would go into the rate stabilization fund and factored into future rate setting processes with this council. It would basically be going to keep rates
but
down.
Not, Dean, not on this one. And Jim, I think, could jump in. But yeah. my understanding is, Jim, why don't you jump in on this? Because it's the money came from the construction fund, and I think by law must be returned to the construction fund.
Jim Hagerman, Business Services Manager, Bureau of Environmental Services. That's correct. The properties were purchased with the proceeds of revenue bond sales, and so the proceeds would go back into the construction fund to be used for further construction.
But presumably that would stabilize rates, because then we're not, the construction fund doesn't have to ask for as much of an increase.
Correct.
Thank you.
And I'm so glad you asked this question, Commissioner, because the default, our preference always is to put the money in the lockbox, which is the rate stabilization fund, and to track it that way. Where the money is restricted and it has to go back to the account where it originated, we will also track it so council knows, and then when we have the discussion about rates, we'll be able to show you that additional money puts less pressure on borrowing, or to the extent the council wants us to be more ambitious in our capital spending plan, we'll have those additional resources. But either way, we will track these dollars so that you understand them through the budget process.
Great. Thank you.
So the first property that we're talking about, Dean mentioned earlier, and that's the Terminal 1 North site that we use for segment construction and storage. It's also the site that we have built a shaft that gives access to the tunnel that goes under the Willamette River. It's approximately 16 acres in size. It's zoned IH, heavy industrial. It has river frontage with a dock in the water, not laying in the water, but with dock access. And it's approximately a 96,000 square foot warehouse remaining on the site. This flyer was prepared by a broker that we're working with right now in terms of short-term lease while we go through the sales process. We decided it would be in the Bureau's best interest to try and have the property occupied during that period of time, if possible. And the second property we refer to as the Pope property, it's at the intersection of Northwest 22nd and Nicolai off of Northwest 22nd Place. It's a gravel lot at this point, 32,000 square feet. And again, we put that on the lease market to try and generate some income from it while we know it will take some time to go through the marketing and sales process. Both of these properties have had substantial interest in them from neighboring businesses and from the community already, so we're very hopeful that we'll be very successful. And that's all I have to share with you.
We're selling that property, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we're just leasing in the interim.
Mr. Fritz, one of the things that this particular exercise allows us to do is sort of test drive these revised policies. And when we are successful in selling these properties, I want to come back and talk about ways we could strengthen it. Is there additional notification? Are the timelines reasonable? What's the feedback we've gotten? These are unique properties in that they're in an industrial area, and so they have a different kind of impact, say, from Freeman Tank, which was in the middle of a residential area. But the idea is to get these right, to have them apply to both the Water Bureau and the Bureau of Environmental Services. And frankly, the long-term vision is to have these be the model of policies for all bureaus in terms of surplus property disposition.
Yes, I very much appreciate the improvements. You modestly missed one of the other ones that was previously put in place, which was to require bureaus to affirmatively comment whether or not they wanted to look at this property, which I think means that doesn't necessarily get missed in the email backlog. Mm-hmm. So I very much appreciate that. I won't be here for the vote next week. I'll be on vacation. So I wanted to state for the record, first of all, that I've visited both of these properties because we were considering to see whether Right to Dream 2 might find them appropriate, which they did not. So that's clear from that standpoint. Parks was looking very lustfully at the riverfront property, both the cost of it in relation to the amount of system development charges we have for the central city area is pretty prohibitive, and it's a perfect site for industrial development. So as we're looking at our industrial lands inventory, I would expect that we would get a good top dollar on this and that we'd be able to keep it in industrial use. So thank you for your thorough process.
Thank you. And yes, we're here. There's a lot of interest in these properties, and we think we're in a position to get top dollar, and that's good news for our ratepayers.
Any other further questions?
I just want to point out, Commissioner, if I may, Linda Berth sitting behind me. Linda, raise your hand so the council can see. Linda's done a lot of great work on these topics. Thanks.
I just wanted to take the opportunity to say that this is a great example of government at work. You acquired for the Bureau, and it's, I think, an opportunity for the Bureau and its current and former commissioner to take a bow. You acquired property for a specific purpose. The purpose was achieved. You're selling the property. It's all very nice and neat. I also have to add that I'm concerned by Commissioner Fritz's mission of the lustfulness of the Parks Bureau, and I'd like to know which other of the seven deadly sins the Parks Bureau is infested with. But we can take that up at another time.
Because this goes to a second reading, and we may not all be here together, Dean, I want to just compliment your team and also compliment David Schaff and his team, because a lot of work went into recasting our policies, and obviously we had the benefit of a tremendous amount of community interest in having us update and strengthen our policies. And I also want to thank Jim Blackwood and Sonia Schmansky on my team, who, working together as my liaisons to the utilities, have been thinking about this. And, you know, the goal is really very straightforward. Enhance and strengthen public notice and make sure that as many eyes are on this as possible. And the ultimate goal is to make sure that the public interest is served with the ultimate disposition. In some instances, that will mean it continues in public ownership. In other instances, it means we make sure we get the best possible price for a surplus asset. In either case, either taxpayers' or ratepayers' interests are well served. So I appreciate the good work that everyone's put into this.
I'd just like to add my compliments, too. I recall the decision-making around the decision about whether to buy or lease Terminal 1, and I know Dean was very entrepreneurial in his advocacy that we should buy it rather than paying lease payments that would probably exceed the value of the property. And so now we are benefiting from your sound judgment, and we will get some return on this asset on the market. So good work.
Thank you.
If everybody wishes to testify on 853 or 854?
854 and
55.
Oh, 54 and 55, yeah. Excuse me.
I have five people signed up. The okay. First three, please come on up, are Michael Withy, Lightning, and Joel Walsh.
Carl, did you already read 855?
Thank you. I did not.
Oh, okay.
We could take testimony together.
Yeah, if you could read 855, sure.
855, declare as surplus city-owned property located at Northwest Nikolai Street and Northwest 22nd Avenue, and authorize the director of the Bureau of Environmental Services to proceed with a public sale of the property.
Okay, Mr. Withy, give us your name and you have 3 minutes.
Mike Withy. We talk about surplus land, and you mentioned, Amanda, that Right to Dream 2 sort of turned down this opportunity. Micro-Community Concepts has been working with architects. We've been working with other nonprofit corporations. We're working with JOIN. JOIN's Rob Justice and Techtwell. Techtwell has, Dave Carbono has come in and said that they will associate, he will work with us with his engineers, even though we already have our own engineers, actually, volunteer architects. We're willing to go ahead and look at this property, especially this one on Northwest 22nd, and put a plan together that would include us coming up with $748,000 through private funding if the land could be given to us by the city. Now, that I'm not asking for a commitment. We would simply say, hey, we'll put the numbers together. We'll put a plan together. We'll bring it in front of city council with the stakeholders, if you will, before you make any decisions on that piece of property. We'd like the opportunity to go ahead and put the numbers together, show you that it does pencil out, and that we could put approximately 50 people in permanent to semi-permanent housing. We could use it as a shelter or as transitional housing, a sort of Right to Dream 2 type program that Techtwell would certainly be extremely interested in associating themselves with. It would be a transformational project where we would take folks that are experiencing hardships. We would allow them to stay there for a certain amount of months while we provide services to get them work and get back into the mainstream housing. So not necessarily that piece of land, but any piece of land that the city has surplus, we would definitely be able to put the money together and put the plan together to utilize that that space.
So on that point, the Water Bureau and the Bureau of Environmental Services do intend to declare surplus some additional properties in the next year. And if you touch base with my office, we'd be pleased to give you notice of what those properties are and where. And that at least gives you an opportunity to advocate to see whether you can put together financing and within the rules that we've established. So, but we'd be happy to make sure that you get early notice of what those properties are that are contemplated for surplus.
Okay, thank you.
And I'd like to add on behalf of Mayor Hale, since he's not able to be here today, he and Fred Miller, the Chief Administrative Officer, is working with Josh Alpert to look at all of the city's surplus properties, of which there are, well, not surplus properties, unused properties. There are a lot of them. Part of the issue is the zoning. And when we looked into the site on Nikolai for Right to Dream, there'd be some significant challenges on putting housing on that property since it's industrially zoned. So in order to maximize your investment of time and effort, we might be able to find other properties that are zoned appropriately, because otherwise we'd have to wait for the comprehensive plan process to rezone. So that was, we definitely were looking at those options with Right to Dream and with the mayor's office, and are definitely very much interested in looking at what does the city own and what's the highest and best use of it, which in some cases may be housing.
Okay. Thank you.
Lightning?
Yes, my name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Think Lab. Also, another company I'll represent on this issue will be the Healing Man Sanctuary, which we've started up. Now, one of the concerns I have on the surplus is that I wanted to make sure that the other bureaus, if they had an interest in the property, were able to step forward, and I assume they have. So.
And by the way, Lightning, Amanda made an important point.
Yes.
Under the new policy, we not only send notice to the other bureaus,
yes,
but they are required to respond.
Okay.
So it doesn't get lost in the spam filter. They have to actually declare specifically yay or nay. And if they declare that they have an interest, then that stops the process until we figure out whether that can work and stays in public ownership.
Okay, that sounds great. Now, I understand this was paid off a bond. Now, the property was purchased, if I'm correct, in 2004 for $6,325,000. Now, what I'd like to have an understanding with all the other bureaus, Transportation, Parks, Portland Housing Bureau, is that I think anything up above the price of the bond that was paid should be divided equally throughout the bureaus. And why I say that, if there's any appreciation value that takes place, now this property, as you know, back in 2002 was showing a number on paper here somewhere at $17 million, which is surprising me, but I'm not saying it's going to come anywhere close to that. But let's just say it hits somewhere 10 plus million. I'd like to see from the $6 million, the bond paid back, which goes to the sewer department for construction purposes, but any additional amount above that should be divided up within the bureaus, because I think that appreciation value should be possibly distributed if that could be done on an equal basis.
So, Lightning, I'm not the lawyer in this case, and as usual, you've come up with a very thoughtful and creative idea, but I think the answer we're going to get is that because it was purchased by ratepayers with ratepayer dollars, the proceeds stay with ratepayers. And I think we would be barred in taking those dollars and using them for a non-ratepayer purpose. It's a laudable goal, but I believe we are required to keep them within the ratepayer system because we use ratepayer dollars to acquire it.
Okay, and I'm just saying the bond to be repaid back, any appreciation value I would like to have taken a look at from the other bureaus to see if they could participate in that distributed. That's all I'm asking, to have an attorney look at that. Another issue I have, like I've stated, is that from the Healing Man Sanctuary, we're going to be looking for property, surplus properties. What we're trying to do is we want to create kind of like almost like a type of an RV park type setup, and we want to bring in actually Airstream trailers, some of the old vintage trailers and also the newer ones. Airstream has been around for many years. Wally Byam created the company, its longevity, its quality. And we want to set those up on similar to RV park type setups. And so we're looking for vacant land that we can do that, expand out. And our focus will be on the people on the sidewalks. We want to bring them into the trailers at a lower cost. We can get some nice quality trailers, even the vintage, for say $10,000 up to $30,000. And these are really nice with bathrooms, showers, all the amenities. And we want to set those up in parks, and we can have our cost considerably lower than what you're seeing out there from apartments and other areas. We want to work with Airstream and work with them on that. And like Wally Byam said, you know, he wanted to take care of a lot of people. He had mobile hospitals in his Airstream. He had mobile restaurants in his Airstreams. There's a lot of possibilities to working with Airstream. And as you know or might not know, they've just joined up with Mercedes-Benz, and they're doing some beautiful RVs out there right now. So any type of land, surplus, industrial, or anything that we can utilize for the Airstream parks, we're definitely interested and like to talk to you. Thank you.
My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. Most of my questions were answered by Commissioner Fritz. Your questions ran parallel with mine. So most of them were, but one of the things, listening to the conversation, I thought about was that you seem to have a good way of contacting the bureaus and maybe some nonprofits about the possibility of them using this land. I would suggest that you expand that. You have two gentlemen here that have very different ideas how to use the land. And I'm sure that you're aware that there are other people like R2-D2. And are they on the mailing list on the same level as the bureaus? So they get notified also so they can come and at least attempt to say, hey, this looks pretty good. We could do something with this. One of the things that I would reemphasize, and we've said this before, is to keep somebody on the street. There are cities that have done studies, and they figure it's about $15,000 a year per person. If you think about the arrest, you think about the property, you think about the services that they get, it comes out to about $15,000 a year per person. So let's take 10, because I'm terrible at math. If you just take $10,000 per person, that way you start to get an idea that if you donate or give this property to a nonprofit that wants to do something to get people off the streets, it's not a loss. You know, you're not giving up. If you sell the property for, say, $5,000 or $5 million, and put it into the lockbox. If you take people off the streets, it saves you money. You can argue about how much, but it saves you money. So I would ask you to expand, number one, the notifications, and also think about in those terms, so it's, you don't think about it, well, if we sell it, we're going to get all this money, and we can put it over here, and we can say to the ratepayers, look what we did. You can also say, we saved 50 people times 10,000. Somebody else do the math, because I was a psych major, not a math major. But it's millions of dollars that you're talking about. So I would just ask that you do that, and I would thank Commissioner Fritz for asking really good questions.
Thank you.
And the point is, though, it's ratepayer dollars that bought it. So, yes, another bureau, the Housing Bureau, for example, could look at buying it for then using it for housing, but we are being sued because we're not. It's alleged that we haven't used ratepayer dollars appropriately, so we can't, even if Commissioner Fish wanted to, that's not a legal thing for him to do, except if he sold it to another general fund bureau.
But the question about a broader notice, I mean, we publish, we put a sign, it was going to have a separate tab on the website. We do lots of things. I see no reason why we can't compile email addresses and send people who are interested parties. So
right.
The point's well taken, Joe. We'll try to make sure it goes as broadly as possible. Thank you.
Thank you.
Were there other people signed up, Carla?
The last three are Steve Entwistle, Kathy Bushman, and Barry Sutton.
Welcome.
Well.
Okay. You each have 3 minutes, and you just need to give us your name. We'll start with you, Kathy.
Well, my name is Kathy Bushman, and I am speaking on behalf of the Healing Man Sanctuary as well. Because what Joe Walsh said, I'd like to expand on it a little bit. I understand that it takes $30,000 to $50,000 a year. I may be wrong on those figures. If you do nothing to remove the homeless from the streets, other than use the police to harass them, but that costs money. That's cost the cost of policing and providing emergency services. I understand has a figure, a price tag of $30,000 to $50,000 a year. And if you are giving developers a lot, I forget how many million dollar benefit to a tax-free loan, or I'm not sure how that works. I heard a figure of $7 million to provide a certain percentage of affordable units that expire. They revert to the market value in 7 to 10 years. That means that you're just pushing the problem down the road while the average rents in Portland are going up. The Portland Business Journal said it's going up. The average rents are going up 11% a year, which means that if wages are stagnant, more and more people are going to be homeless. But if these affordable units are only going to be affordable for 7 to 10 years, you're pushing the problem down the road. And then you're going to have the situation that you have in San Francisco, where their eviction rate last year went up 115% in a single year. And that was in Street Roots. It was also in an LA paper, but Street Roots picked it up in this last month's issue. So it's not only a savings, but it's a human compassion that these people deserve. I know these people, a lot of them, on a personal basis. And I have to say, I get very upset when I see the way that the Oregonian and other media portrays them, tries to criminalize them. I know them, many of them, by name, the street names anyway. And I have to say, I have seen their mutual support and their compassion and their generosity with one another when one of them is in greater need than themselves than I have seen anywhere. So I would like to see something done other than shove them from pillar to post. And I understand there was some kind of court judgment came down recently for the way that their sleeping bags were taken from them this last winter. And there should have been. I think there should have been a greater fine. And even I think that to do that to the homeless in freezing weather should have been considered manslaughter.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Entwistle.
Ma'am. Good morning, City Council. My name is Stephen Entwistle. And I'm also a founder of the Healing Man Sanctuary, or sanctuaries. And let me explain a little bit what that means to the people in TV land. Maybe they would like to help out with this. And basically, we're going to get people off the street, off in front of businesses, okay? I don't know if anybody has been out walking around at 5 o'clock in the morning around downtown, but there's plenty of people out on the street that don't have a place to go. They don't have a place, a real place to sleep. And that's what the sanctuary is a place to sleep, a place to rest, a place to get your mind together, a place that you can get resources and function as a human being and come back to reality. Right now, we live in a depression. I don't call it a recession. This is a depression. And this is a firewall to prevent folks from jumping off of bridges. Okay, how many people have jumped off of bridges in the last couple of years? Do we have the names and pictures of those folks? Do we know their families and their children? We don't talk about this very much, because it's a hard subject, but it's a reality subject. I see these folks every day. Some of these folks are not here anymore. And that's a problem. And we can do a lot better than that. Okay. I see a lot of anecdotal issues that are basically kind of candy coating the primary dysfunctions of our society. And I don't see a lot of people speaking out against the primary dysfunctions. I see a lot of damage control and a lot of patting on the back for the little damage control Band-Aids that are piecemeal. Okay, that doesn't do good for families and for our children. That doesn't speak well. But anyway, I can go on and on a tangent, but I'm not going to do that. We're talking about the Healing Man Sanctuary, and this is a really good deal, a really good program, and we're going to get our 501(c), a nonprofit, for this, so people can invest, and we can show you the results that we get. We can show you before and an after of the same individual, okay, versus before and after for public housing or some other issues or other, anecdotal situations. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Barry?
Hi. How are you?
Can you move closer to the microphone, Barry?
Yes. Hello, Commissioner Salzman. You're a part of this discussion that I'm going to bring you before all of you here. But thank you.
Give us your name.
Barry Sutton, and I'm homeless, and I'm... this is what I'm talking about, and these to these other people sitting beside me, there is a specific place in Portland, 3 city blocks, that can go to the homeless, and there's the money to provide garbage and facilities for that, and there's to these people I'm talking, and there's plenty of room in that R2D2. Occupied 1/4 of a city block. That's 1/12. There's 3 city blocks. 1/12 of this size. So there's room for everybody. Now let me go on. Hello, everyone. On the our mayor isn't here, is he?
No, he's in New York.
Okay, yeah. Well, he shouldn't know about this also. The letter that you wrote to me, thank you very much, Commissioner Fritz, thank you. I appreciate that so much because I was able to answer just, well, very thoroughly in my sense, everything, answer to everything in that, that, you know, there it was decided that this wasn't right, and it was this and that, and I can't find it. I took a lot of things out of my pocket, and I went there earlier and looked back in my backpack. I will be able to find it. I wanted to read it to you. I went to, thank you, Commissioner Fish. You sent me to the Portland Housing. I talked to, I've forgotten her name, Mrs. What was her name, the lady there?
Well, there's a number of ladies there, but I think I sent you to Tracy or to a number of the people.
The lady that I spoke with explained how this was, how the idea of, not the idea of this, how this was voted against and condemned by the neighbors and
Sally
stuff like
Erickson.
That.
You met with
okay.
Sally.
Okay, well, the lady, I remember her. And she was very, very upset, and I just didn't want to go on any further about that. But, Commissioner Saltzman, to your credit, you mentioned as you were leaving your office to me in the hall there, you're right, there is such a thing as emergency housing, emergency zoning. And this could be implemented, and afterwards, a kind of zoning could be done if necessary that should probably be done. But there is room in Portland, and $360,000 from the Pearl District. This could take care of the facilities for a number of years. I know this because I was at the first Dignity Village, catacorner to St. Patrick's Church in 1999. This can be done. Please, if you look toward doing it, okay. Consider it. If questions, please.
Okay. Thank you, Barry.
Thank you, Barry. Thank you all.
Questions from anyone?
Nope.
Okay. Thank you for your attention. Bye-bye.
Okay. Both these items move to a second reading.
President, Mr. President, I misspoke earlier in saying that I wouldn't be here to vote on them. Since they're declaring surplus property, the charter requires 4 votes, and both Commissioner Mayor Hales and I are away next week, so it would be the week after that we'd be voting on it.
Okay. So we'll vote on these in
I guess the,
2 weeks.
There's an alternative.
Are we allowed to add an emergency clause on a surplus property sale?
I'm agnostic. I don't want to do something that's bad process, but if we could, it makes sense that we can start moving on.
If I would suggest, Commissioner Fish, you've done such a magnificent job of being open and transparent, just in case there's anybody who's hearing about this for the first time.
Let's do that.
You can still move forward, I believe.
Okay, so we'll just vote on these in 2 weeks. If you